Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to covering the news and to covering Yahweh's words so that we can keep the world's fastest growing, largest, and most important segment of society informed. Those of you who know that all of the world's religious, political, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they have become counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed, and that there is no hope in any human institution, only in the Torah. Our phone number, if you would like to participate in this discussion at any time over the next 3 hours, is toll-free, 877-300-7645. I want to begin where we left off in yesterday's program with a defiant piece of crap. And yes, I can say that on the radio. Dick Cheney, a man that is the only human I think that I would actually like to see tortured. Or at least the only living human that I'd want to see tortured. I would love to see Paul, the author of half the Christian New Testament, pay for leading billions of people to their death. I'd love to see Muhammad, the creator of the world's most deadly and destructive religion, suffer for what he has done to humanity. I'd like to see Akiba and Maimonides suffer for what they have done to their own people. But Dick Cheney, amongst living people today, is the most reprehensible scumbag on the planet. He and his cadre of characters, George W. Bush, Condoleezza Rice, all of them, along with every senior officer in the CIA, should endure what they think was such a grand idea. They don't think it's torture. They think it's an enhanced interrogation technique. Let's waterboard them for 2 or 3 months, every hour of every day. And maybe we'll learn why they were such utter disgusting failures, why they destroyed the credibility of America, why they invaded Iraq on a pile of lies, left almost 1 million people dead, a country completely broken, the Middle East in ruins, amidst civil wars between Sunni and Shias, all because of their stupidity. Let's investigate why they invaded Afghanistan on a pile of lies, making a bad situation worse. Yeah, let's interrogate them and learn why they destroyed America's credibility, why they squandered America's resources, why they spilled America's blood, all while bludgeoning people from around the world. Let's waterboard them. All three of them, collectively. Televise it. Show the world what they're so proud of. Yesterday, we spent considerable time talking about his justification, which, while appealing to a wide section of Americans, only proves that Americans at large have lost the ability to be rational. He said, with respect to trying to define that as torture, I come back to the proposition torture was what Al-Qaeda terrorists did to 3,000 Americans on 9/11. There's no comparison between that and what we did with respect to enhanced interrogation. Hey, it wasn't Al-Qaeda that perpetrated 9/11. It was Islam. B, 100% of those who participated in the terrorist attack on 9/11 are dead. C, there isn't anyone that you tortured, save one. Of the thousands that you tortured, only one had advanced knowledge of 9/11. So to equate what you did to what they did on 9/11, there's only one person that you tortured that even had advanced knowledge of the attack, and he was not the mastermind. Everyone else had nothing to do with 9/11. Furthermore, the 9/11 was murderous, but it was not torture. Doesn't meet any definition of torture. What the FBI did to extract confessions is a perfect fit for every rational definition of torture. And even if those that Dick Cheney and George Bush and Condoleezza Rice ordered to be tortured were the perpetrators of 9/11, which none were, had advanced knowledge of 9/11 and could have stopped it, of which none could, even if that had been the case, even if torture worked, which it doesn't, even if they got information that somehow thwarted another attack, which they didn't, it's still grossly inappropriate. It is grossly immoral to torture. It is against international law. It is against the U.S. Constitution. Here, all three of these despicable characters, George Bush, Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, swore an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution and yet violated it. Cruel and unusual punishment. They also violated it when they decided to scrap all of the protections that are provided to even perpetrators of crimes, murder, pedophilia, rape. All of the protections that are afforded even to the worst criminals by our Constitution were completely discarded by these idiots. They didn't indict a single individual. They didn't try a single individual. They didn't convict a single individual, not one. They were no better than those who perpetrated the Salem witch trials. They were no better than the Roman Catholic Church during the Inquisition. These are individuals, the three of them, plus the head of the CIA and the immediate, all immediate senior advisory personnel that was part of this decision-making and implementation of this plan, all of them, should at the very least be turned over to The Hague, the International Court, for prosecution. And a far more appropriate sentence would be to waterboard them. I want to continue this story, and then I want to go to a much more tragic story following it. We do have Glenn on the line, but let me finish reading this story, and then we'll get Glenn's comment, and then I want to go to a really tragic story today. The vice president also dispelled the report's findings that the then president, George W. Bush, was unaware of the techniques taking place, saying that Bush authorized the tactics. And the report detailing otherwise is a lie. This is something that is extraordinarily important. If you are a Republican, if you voted for George W. Bush, you have this stain on your soul. You voted for a man who knowingly, deliberately, purposely implemented the use of terror. A man who chose to torture others. You've devalued everything associated with America. You should be ashamed. Quote, we got authorization from the president and authorization from the Justice Department to go forward with the program, which means everyone within the Justice Department that reviewed this and gave authorization for torture also ought to be turned over to the International Court for conviction. Now, the reason I say International Court is that they perpetrated these crimes against people who were not citizens of the United States. They perpetrated these crimes by kidnapping these people from countries around the world. They perpetrated these crimes by torturing people in hidden hideouts around the world. This was an international crime. It was in violation of international law. Cheney's last comments was, it worked. There wasn't a single Islamic terrorist attack thwarted by these interrogations. Not one. On top of all of that, none of it worked. Iraq is a complete disaster. Vastly worse than it was before America invaded. Syria is a complete disaster, vastly worse than before America engaged in Iraq. Afghanistan is completely broken. Today, the most devastating act in the history of that country took place. It not only didn't work, it backfired. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, yeah.
Well, at least with regard to Dick Cheney, I might be able to offer a partial explanation. Much of this transpired before he received his heart implant. And you'll notice I said implant, not transplant, because in order to have a transplant, you have to have an existing version of the organ before the new one's put in.
Yeah, you know, in the sense of the heart being the seat of judgment and the seat of morality within an individual, which is really the Hebrew perspective on heart when it talks about you should do something like revere Yahweh with all your heart. That's really what it's talking about. It's not only the seat of emotion, but it's the seat of conviction. It's the seat of judgment within a individual. And Dick Cheney is completely devoid of all of these things. For him to have perpetrated this and implicate the President of the United States in this, and also to talk about it being something he would do again, and to absolutely lie about every aspect of it, is as bad as perpetrating the crime in the first place. I mean, he is a man that ought to receive what he dished out. We'll be back with Glenn, with Shattering Myths, and the news from Afghanistan and Pakistan, which is devastating today, as some 140 children have been slaughtered in a war that America conceived. The first article is from Reuters. It was premature on the number of children murdered. It reads at least 126 children were murdered today when Taliban gunmen stormed a school in the Pakistani city of Peshawar, killing the students, but also taking many hundreds hostage. The Taliban is the very Islamic club that America rented to fight a proxy war against the USSR during Jimmy Carter's administration. For those who are as old as I am, you know that Jimmy Carter boycotted the Moscow Olympics because of the civil war taking place in Afghanistan, blaming the Soviet Union. So he didn't allow any American athletes to go to Moscow. What Jimmy Carter didn't tell the American people was that he started that war. And there's video evidence of him sending Zbigniew Brzezinski, his national security advisor, and Gates, who at the time was with the CIA, you know, has subsequently gone to head the CIA, became head of the Pentagon, and then now is head of the Boy Scouts. There's also video showing Gates talking to the Taliban, talking about how Allah was with them and that Allah would guide them and that with American weapons, that Allah would help them use those weapons against the infidel.
I thought that was Brzezinski.
Zbigniew Brzezinski. But Gates was the, Zbigniew Brzezinski was the national security advisor for Carter that came up with the plan. Carter, of course, approved the plan. And and there is video of Brzezinski making those statements, but there's also video of Gates over there doing the same thing. Gates was the lead person in the CIA for funneling $5 billion worth of American weapons to the Taliban. Well, that very same Taliban, America's ally in its proxy war against the Soviet-backed government of Afghanistan, is now allegedly America's foe in the invasion of Afghanistan. But today in Pakistan, and keep in mind that the Taliban is Pakistani. They were formed by the Pakistani government for the express purpose of infiltrating Afghanistan for the purpose of controlling it so that the Pakistanis could get the rights to a oil and gas line from the Caspian Sea through Afghanistan and into Pakistan and into a free water port. That very Taliban, America's ally and now enemy, walked into a school with 6 to 9 gunmen, all dressed, of course, in the favorite color of jihadists, black. And they were wearing suicide vests, but they simply opened fire, indiscriminately murdering 141 children. So it worked, huh? Dick Cheney, it worked. Why don't you tell me how it worked, Dick Cheney, for those 141 kids, or for the hundreds that are now captive? The story continues to read. Hours into the siege, 3 explosions were heard inside the high school, along with heavy gunfire. This says the hardline Islamist Taliban. They aren't hardline. They're simply fundamentalist. And they aren't Islamist. They're Islamic. And that's all they are, Taliban. Immediately claimed credit. The comment was, we selected the school for the attack because the government is targeting our families and females, said Taliban spokesperson Mohammed Umar Khorsani. We want them to feel the pain. This is a standard Islamic rhetoric. It's standard Islamic reasoning. Muslims kill vastly more Muslim women and children than do non-Muslims. The rate's probably somewhere between 100 to 1 and 1,000 to 1. Muslims murder Muslim women and children in a greater, much, much greater, geometrically greater rate than do non-Muslims. And yet, the Muslims will use the relatively few killings of Muslim women and children by non-Muslims as justification for killing other children. We want them to feel the pain. That's kind of what Dick Cheney wanted. He wanted them to feel the pain. Who them was didn't matter. The fact that them weren't convicted of any crimes didn't matter. The fact that them were only being religious didn't matter. The fact you'd have to violate the U.S. Constitution didn't matter. He just wanted them to feel the pain. Sounds just like the Taliban, doesn't it? When you stoop to the same level as your enemies, then you are no better than they. You know, this notion that an isolated death of families and females justifies the massacre of children is only possible in an extraordinarily morally depraved mind. Something that Islam does to its victims. The realization that you are incapable of discerning the fact that a few indiscriminate killings of your families and females does not justify the mass murder of others' children's is something that is obviously way past the capability of fundamentalist Muslims. That's why the disease of Islam is so hideous. That's why it is so destructive. That's why it is so deadly. Article says an unspecified number of children are still being held captive. The Pakistani Taliban, which this article says, are fighting to topple the government. Yeah, it's really not a government in Afghanistan. It's a ruse. I mean, during the last election, there were more fraudulent votes than there were actual votes. So, this Taliban is trying to set up an Islamic State. Yeah, they have done so in the past. They will do so again. They have avowed to step up attacks in response to a major army operation against them in the tribal areas. They have targeted security forces, checkpoints, military bases, and airports, but attacks on civilian targets with no logical significance are relatively rare. And that's true. The Taliban fights much more of a guerrilla warfare than they do deploy terrorism. The Taliban seldom use terrorist tactics. They almost always use guerrilla tactics. Very different form of fighting. In September of 2013, dozens of people, including many children, were killed in an attack on a church, also in Peshawar, with, of course, Muslims are intolerant, and they're deadly. With the rescue operation underway, the situation is fluid. No one really knows the extent. Well, about an hour later, from another news source, we read that Pakistani officials say that Taliban gunmen stormed a school. It was a military-run school in Peshawar, killing at least 141 and wounding many more. Local officials tell CBS that 132 of those killed were children. 9 were staff members. Local hospital say that more fatalities are expected. The Pakistani military said in a statement, now the Pakistani military created the Taliban. It is part of the Pakistani military, just like the Marines are part of the Navy. Said Tuesday that a rescue operation had been successful in ending the siege at the school and most of the students and staff had been evacuated. Unfortunately, that is not true. The horrific attack carried out by a relatively small number of militants from the Tehrik-i-Taliban, a Pakistani militant group trying to overthrow the government, also sent dozens of wounded flooding into local hospitals. By the way, the killing of their families and females in Pakistan would have been done entirely by fellow Muslims. So this is a case, again, of Muslims killing Muslims. And I don't have a problem with that. And do I think it is barbaric? Do I think it is morally depraved for men to walk into a school filled with children with suicide vests and automatic rifles and to blast away, killing 141, capturing even more, mutilating more than that, all as while they're shouting out their God's name? Do I think that's putrid? Absolutely. Do I care? Probably not. Other than to expose how disgusting this religion is. When Muslims kill Muslims, that is their affair. Let them do so. We ought not provide the weapons. We ought not supply the means for them to engage like this. And the United States props up Pakistan with its aid in the many billions of dollars annually, most of which goes to the military. A student who escaped and a police official on the scene earlier said that at one point about 200 students were being held hostage. Both spoke on a condition, however, of anonymity because they were not authorized to talk to the media. And there is a controlled media in every Islamic country. One of the wounded students, Abdullah Jamal, said that he was with a group of 8th, 9th, and 10th graders who were getting first aid instructions and training with a team of Pakistani medics when the violence began for real. When the shooting started, Jamal, who was shot in the leg, said nobody knew what was going on. Then I saw children falling down. I heard them crying, screaming. I also fell down. I learned later that I have a bullet in my leg. Another student said that they locked the door from inside. And then the gunmen, fundamentalist Muslims, began shooting indiscriminately while shouting, Allahu Akbar. Reuters interviews with witnesses showed that most victims were shot in the first hours of the assault when gunmen sprayed the premise with bullets in an indiscriminate massacre. This is something that when you have adults who have been equipped by a religious organization, who have been inspired by their religion, walk into a building and massacre this many children indiscriminately, you have a real serious problem with that religion. It was possible that some were also killed in the ensuing gunfight when the Pakistani armed forces stormed into the building. It has not been a good day for rescues, neither in Australia nor in Pakistan. The school in Peshawar, a Pakistani city on the edge of the country's turbulent tribal belt, is operated by the army, although it enrolls some civilian students. Many of its pupils are children of army officials. The assault began at around 10 a.m. local time as a group of nine militants did this with suicide vests. That means that they were good Muslims. Muslims love suicide bombings. Strapped to their bodies, burst into the building. One of the children, 15 years old, who was shot in both legs, said, "One of my teachers was crying. She was shot in the hand and she was crying in pain," he said. One of the gunmen then walked up to her and started shooting her until she stopped making any sound. "All around me, my friends were lying injured and dead." Folks, this is Islam. Dick, it didn't work. You made a bad situation worse. One nine-year-old boy, who asked not to be named because he was too afraid to be identified, said teachers shepherded his class out through a back door. As soon as the shooting began, the teachers asked us to recite the Quran quietly. To recite the Quran. You idiot. It's the Quran that inspired the massacre. There's a related story. It takes place a little to the south. At least 25 people, 15 of whom were children, were murdered in a twin car bomb attack in the central Yemeni province of Baida. The children were inside a school bus that was passing a checkpoint when the first bomb exploded. They targeted the children. The second one went off immediately afterwards near the home of a Shia leader. The rebels blamed Sunni jihadist militants from Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula for the blast. Right. They have been fighting the Houthis who overran the AQAP since October. Well, what do we have here? America seems to be bombing the Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula. But who are they fighting? Shias. Who are the Shias fighting? The Sunnis. So America has chosen the side of the Shias bombing in Yemen, the Sunnis. And yet, America's primary allies in the Islamic world are Sunnis. Turkey and Saudi Arabia, for example. Qatar, Kuwait, all Sunnis. Egypt, Sunni. And yet, America is bombing the most effective, both of the most effective Sunni rebels in the world, al-Nusra and the Islamic State, and fighting on behalf of the Shias in Syria and in Iraq. We are so tied up in our underwear. We are so stupid. We are so twisted. It's no wonder that Americans elected the likes of Dick Cheney. It is not clear if the school bus or the Houthi checkpoint was the intended target of the first bombing, or if the Houthis themselves, the Shias, perpetrated the bombing, or if it was perpetrated by Sunnis against the Shias. We just don't know. Why? Because there is no media in that part of the world. Why? Because Muslims kidnap them, they torture them, they behead them. That's a disincentive. And if you tell the truth, in the Islamic world, you were tried and convicted for blasphemy and killed after you're tortured. Not much incentive in that either. Everything in the news today, with exception of the Philadelphia killer, the Philadelphia gunman, is about Islam. It's either about torturing Muslims, and there are so many interesting stories, two more of which are very long stories that I'll get to in future days, on Dick Cheney and his lies, as well as the CIA's reprehensible conduct and what led to it. But even the story of the Philadelphia gunman, has Islamic connections because he went berserk after having been deployed in Iraq. Well, here's the next one. It's not violent, but it is the basis of Islamic governance. Turkish police have made at least 23 arrests during raids on a newspaper and TV station with close ties to U.S.-based Islamic cleric Fethullah Gulen. Those detained were accused of forming an illegal organization and trying to seize control of the state. In other words, those controlled, those seized, were in a political party that was in opposition to the Islamic party of Erdogan. And Erdogan views that any opposition party, even if it's also an Islamic party, is unacceptable. After all, he's dictator. He's got his new palace. He's got his new airplane. He's got a NATO-equipped military. And the one thing he will not tolerate is a rival. The nature of Islam. Islam tolerates no rival. What does the Quran say? Only Allah has the right to be worshipped. The Quran tells Muslims to continue to fight and kill non-Muslims until the only religion is Islam. It is the nature of Islam. That is what Erdogan is manifesting. And in an Islamic country, Sharia law prohibits anyone to criticize the leadership. That again comes directly from the Quran and Hadith. Muhammad had three journalists criticize him. In all three cases, he ordered his closest Muslim jihadist to go murder them. They murdered them in their bed. Muhammad authorized them to lie and to use trickery to get close to them. Two of those Muhammad murdered were women who were breastfeeding children at the time that they were stabbed to death by Muhammad's goons. Islam will not tolerate free speech. It does not tolerate a rival. It is Allah's nature. Allah, modeled after Satan, recognizes that free speech, free will, freedom of information, a rival to his disgusting nature, are all counterproductive to his ambitions. So Erdogan is doing what you would expect a fundamentalist Muslim to do. And I want you to recognize that when you are thrown into a Turkish prison, that's hell. In fact, hell will not be as bad for those who endure it as the treatment in a Turkish prison. That's the reality, folks. and those who have been accused will die there. They will never get out. There will never be a fair trial. Mr. Gulen, the Islamic spiritual leader of the Hizmet movement, is a rival of Turkish President Recep Erdogan. The raids came days after Erdogan pledged a fresh campaign against Mr. Gulen's supporters. That's right. Arrest them. Let them die in a Turkish prison. Among those arrested are journalists, producers, scriptwriters, and a police chief. CNN published this story yesterday. Can you take non-Muslim women and children captive? Yes, says ISIS. What they don't know, because journalists are no longer educated, they're indoctrinated, is yes, says the Quran. Yes, says Muhammad. Can you have sex with them, even prepubescent sex? According to the Islamist extremist group, yes. Now, if this journalist had actually read the Quran and Hadith, they would know that having sex with six-year-olds is considered religious in Islam. It is a holy and righteous deed because Muslims are asked and told, ordered, to follow the example of Muhammad, and he was a pedophile.